This is Making Stitches, and it's the last episode of this series, so I thought it was high time I revisited a couple of friends of the podcast, the Queen of Sock Knitting, Christine Perry, also known as Winnick Mum, and Dewey from Dewey Jumbo Craft Tools, who learned the art of carving jumbo knitting needles and crochet hooks from her dad shortly before he died.
He kept bringing it up and he kept saying, "You've got to learn this, Julie. You've got to learn this. I said, "No, I can't do it without you. And I don't want to do it without you. You've always been there. You used to come to TV studios with me and things, and it wouldn't go on, but he would always at back saying, "Say this, do this," you know, and put his little pen of thing. And anyway, we determined he was going to teach me, and he did. And I mean, some days he was so poor, but he'd struggle off down and down to his lockup we'd go and he'd teach me. And at the time I was like, I didn't want to know, but I'm so glad he did now. Mm-hmm. So glad he did. Because I'm so proud now when I make each and every pair or each and every hook. It sends chills through me that I've made that myself and Dad taught me.
Hello and welcome to episode 50 of Making Stitches and the last one of this series. It's been an interesting 10 episodes for me to record, covering a whole range of topics from Ukrainian embroidery and Canadian quilting back in episode 41 with Alessia Lebedenko to crochet, cross stitch, knitting, hand embroidery, indie yarn dyeing and even fabric banner conservation at the People's History Museum in Manchester. If you missed any of the previous episodes, you should be able to find them all in your favourite podcast app. This time, though, I thought I'd reconnect with a couple of friends of the podcast from earlier series. Christine Perry, or Winnick Mum, as she's known online, the champion of sock knitting for all, and Dewey from Dewey Jumbo Craft Tools, who I met at last year's Yarndale Festival held in Skipton back in September. I was literally stopped in my tracks when I passed Dewey's stall and saw her doing Tunisian crochet with the biggest hook I have ever seen. She told me then it was her dad who first made a giant pair of knitting needles for her out of a broom handle. She asked him to make her some more to sell and they sold like hotcakes. That was the start of her oversized craft tools business, which has gone from strength to strength since then.
It's lovely to speak to you again, Dewey.
It's lovely to be here and be there for, you know, to speak with you, to share our interests together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it was a real treat to meet you because you stopped me in my tracks. I can remember because I walked round the corner of where all the pens were, the animal pens in the auction mart at Skipton. And I was just absolutely flabbergasted because you were working with the most amazing, huge wooden, I think it was a crochet hook. I think
it was a Tunisian crochet hook that we were doing, weren't it?
That's right, yeah. And it just literally stopped me in my tracks. I'd never, ever seen anything like that.
I remember you stopping in your tracks, yeah. I do. You're like, oh.
So how, casting your mind back to Yarndale, how was the whole weekend for you?
Oh, it was fabulous. It always is. I do it every year. Sadly, I can't do it this year because we've got a wedding. Not mine, someone else's. And it's just, I love Yarndale, absolutely love it, really do. Everybody's like-minded and so nice and chilled. And it was nice, wasn't it? Because it was letting you all in sort of sections.
That's
sort of,
right.
Because of COVID.
Yes, yeah. It was like timed batches and stuff, so there wasn't a huge crush like there had been in the past.
And I think that worked so much better. And everybody I spoke to said it had worked better. They didn't feel as stressed, you know, and you sort of were pushed along with the crowd because you get so busy usually. And they liked that they could stop and browse. And it was nice to be able to show and demonstrate the tools rather than people that say, "Oh, they're big, aren't they?" But you couldn't show them what you could do with them, you know.
Yeah.
So it was nice, was that. I enjoyed it, really did.
Absolutely. No, it was a lot more chilled out. I think probably there were fewer people there because of the fact it was, we'd just opened up really effectively, hadn't we, in the UK post-COVID. Yeah. And I think some people may have been a bit reticent about going to a place with lots of people, but it was so nice.
Yeah.
It was so nice. And of course, the nature of the building itself, it's almost open air anyway, isn't it? There was plenty of ventilation. It was a very safe environment to be in. But no,
exactly,
it was a wonderful day. Nice to escape the stresses and strains of everything we'd been through for the previous, you know, couple of years, really.
Wasn't I think it was the first time I'd really been out again. And you are hesitant, you know, we didn't know what to expect, did we?
No.
You know, and do we wear masks? Don't we wear masks? You know, yeah, you are. But I think it went on much, much better than they thought, actually.
Mm.
I'm really glad we did. We did it, yeah.
I'm sure you
are. Open doors again.
Absolutely. It's wonderful to be able to reconnect with people in real life because, like, we're speaking today over Zoom and we've become almost professional at this kind of thing in the last couple of years. But really, there's nothing like seeing people in real life, is there?
No, there isn't, is there at all? No, 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 it's nice. It's nice. Well, and especially with what we do as well, because it's a touchy-feely thing, isn't it? You know,
absolutely.
You can't help but pick things up, touch things. It's all about that. So, that's what you really miss.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yes. Mm. So I can remember when we spoke, you told me a little bit about how your oversized tools came about and the fact it was your dad who'd helped you create them in the first place. Do you want to take me back to that and just refresh our memories?
Well, what we did, basically, I have always worked in the textile industry. And in a way, my dad did because he drove, he was a wagon driver and things, and he took all the wool to the merchants, things like that. So we did always have that bit in common, but I worked for a large yarn company, and I learned it from really literally from the bottom up when you sort of did a bit of an apprenticeship. So I learned everything, pattern writing, as well as knitting, crochet, everything all the way through, like office junior, you know, through. So I was lucky enough to have that training. And in between all this, I ended up getting a job in America. It was a lady I met just totally off the cuff. I was working for a magazine. I think it was, one of the knitting magazines. And I met this lady on the stand next to me. And she said she was just so busy. She was an Irish lady and her stuff were amazing. And I just kept going getting her a coffee when I got one and we got really pally. Cut a long story short, she had a company in America and a lady that she worked with sadly got cancer and sadly passed. And she was a bit stuck at who was going to come and do these demonstrations with her. So she just asked me, we just used to email, and she just said one day, will you come out and help me at this one? And it was in California. I was like, my God, I can't do that, you know. And she was like, well, you know, you talk to people, you're getting on with people, you can demonstrate, help me. And she had a clothing line, a knitted clothing line, she hand knitted. And she said, and we try them on people and, you know, show them how to do and everything. She said, I think you'd do really well. I asked my husband, he went, yeah, it's a chance of a lifetime, off you go. So that's what I did. And I did that for about two to three years. And I came backwards and forwards because obviously I didn't go for residency. Came backwards and forwards. And we did North, South, West, and they were called Stitchers with these shows. Called Making Stitches, and they put on these big expos where everybody came to them. I've never seen anything like it. It just made me so more into craft than into knitting and everything I'd ever been. And then I saw these guys with these big needles and they were knitting sculptures with wire. So, but they were big wooden needles, but I was just fascinated, and every lunchtime I'd go and have a play with them. And I bought a pair, and I came to bring them back, and they took them off me in Chicago because I couldn't get, they were weapons, they said. So we're heartbroken. So but all the time I kept thinking, I've got all this yarn, what I collected, or anybody threw any away, I had to pick it up. I was just unbelievable. And I thought, if I put loads and loads of strands together, and do, I think what they call extreme knitting, I thought, well, I could use these big needles to do that. And it was because I just got lots of different random balls instead of, you know, to be able to make a project. But if I could make some really, really thick yarn, and it was before that really thick yarn came out, that the roving type yarn, tops we call it, don't we? Americans call it roving. It was before that, so I thought, how can I make thick yarn? So I thought, oh, I'll do that. And be talking with my dad, he'd sort of said something similar. So I said, well, will you make me these, some needles? Well, I'll have a go, he says. And he had a right broad Yorkshire accent. And he says, I'll have a go. And we had a broom handle there. So he made them out of a broom handle. So I knitted these throws and things. People like them. Just kept showing them out. Never thought a lot of it. And then I was doing Yarndale, promoting for another company. And I said to my dad, why don't you make some of these needles and we'll take them there? And this company said, yeah, no problem, take them. So I took a dozen pairs. So we'd, with 24 needles, and basically within 20 minutes they'd gone.
Goodness.
They'd just gone. So I'm on the phone, Dad, we need some more, we need some more. So he carried on making some more, went back on Sundays, you know, it runs on a weekend. Took another, I think it were another dozen he'd made. They just went within half an hour. And I thought, we're onto something here. So I was buzzing from that, you know, that environment as well, and people loving them. So designers sort of came out of me and I started thinking, what else can we make? So I started making up patterns and things like that. And then I got them on Amazon. They started selling like mad on Amazon. It sounds dead easy, but it took a bit of, you know, I had to learn from nothing, you know, basics how to do Amazon, which I'm still learning. And then another company, a company I knew said, will you supply us? And then a local company again, he wanted supplies. And then he kept ringing up and saying, we want 150, he said one day. I was like, 150 pairs. And my dad goes, oh my God, like this, you know. So my niece, I got her doing them as well with me. I had my uncle, he came, he was polishing and putting on like different wax and serums to make them smoother. Oh, we just rolled all the family in.
Brilliant.
And we just knew we'd got something then. And then actually it was TV actually approached me. A man just rang out of the blue and he said, we just love them. And it was so beautiful before I went on social media, but I think they'd probably seen them on Amazon. I'm not too sure where. Might have been one of the magazines I promoted them in. And I said, right, yeah, I'd like to do. So I had to learn how to do that. And everything was just a learning curve, you know, all the way through. I just went with the flow, really.
Yeah.
It was just so exciting. I just thought everything that came, I did it, took it on board, and some work, some don't. And I think that's what it's all about, having a go.
Yeah.
You know, at it. And then we got one lady who we knew really well, who were a good crocheter, and she said, I want a crocheter hook. So that set my dad off then, so... Oh, it must have been a year before he brought this crochet hook out. He did so many tests on his hook. It was so funny. How we'd get the groove just right, you know, how it had to be just the right head height and all sorts, you know. But he could knit and crochet, could my dad as well, because he was from that era where they taught him at school, you see. So he was sat doing that. And I think he just enjoyed it. And things just went on from there. And then... Again, I went back to America and I got into Tunisian crochet then, because you're sort of always looking for the next product.
Yeah.
Now he laughed at that. He couldn't understand why anybody'd want to do Tunisian crochet because he didn't know how to do it. So I said, it was a bit of a joke, was that one? I went, we had a bit of a bet. I'll sell so many of these and, you know, I'll have your wages that week. And they sort of took off, and they've never been as popular, but I'm getting really behind them at the moment. I'm doing some shows on creating craft, and they're going to be purely Tunisian. It seems to be quite an interest in it at the moment, and it's really a relaxing craft. It's a thing in between knitting and crochet.
Yes.
It's more like weaving. You sort of go backwards and forwards,
yes,
rather than... You know, like you're knitting rows, you're going, like, I think it's a bit like a shuttle going in and coming back, you know, forward and back.
I can see
you
what
do like
saying.
A forward pass and a backward pass. So, and it's very, very easy. And yeah, I'm sort of really into that at the moment. So, I'm popping up all over, really, trying to keep going, you know, as you do. Pandemic were actually quite good for me.
Yes.
I think people looked at crafts in a totally different way.
Absolutely.
Because they had the time, didn't they, you know, to sit and craft. So then as we get onto the story, then Dad passed away 3 years ago. But he knew they'd given him sort of a time. He had cancer. And he said to me, I said, oh, I'm not going. I mean, it were awful, as you know, when your parent dies, you can't, you know, they're going, you can't face it. So I wouldn't talk to him about it. And he kept bringing it up and he kept saying, you've got to learn this, Julie, you've got to learn this. And I said, no, I can't do it without you. And I don't want to do it without you. You've always been there. You used to come to TV studios with me and things. And he wouldn't go on, but he would always at back saying, say this, do this, you know. And
yeah.
Put his little pen of thing. And anyway, we determined he was going to teach me, and he did. And I mean, some days he was so poorer, but he'd struggle off down and down to his lockup we'd go, and he'd teach me. And at time I was like, I didn't want to know, but I'm so glad he did now. So glad he did. Because I'm so proud now when I make each and every pair or each and every hook. It sends chills through me that I've made that myself and Dad taught me, you know. And yeah, and he's always with me. It sounds really corny, but I'm not even in the same workshop now. I've moved house and I've got a self-built, a purpose-built workshop. And there's just, I'm just close to him still. Whenever I pick that wood up and bring it to your eyes, a bit, isn't it? It is me a bit. And I just feel he's there.
Yeah.
I talk to him. They'll probably take me away before long, but I'm going, Dad, what do you think of this one? Shall I do so and so? Oh, no, don't do that, love.
That's so lovely, though, that, I mean, he is still with
keeps
you.
Me going.
He is still with you because he's taught you that, and it's your life now, isn't it? I mean,
It's creative. I mean, hubby helps me. I mean, he works full time, but he does help me ever such a lot. And he was, you know, so close to Dad as well. So he does help me. And eventually, I think he's hoping to just do a couple more years and he's coming into business with me.
Oh, wonderful.
For something that we just thought would just a hobby. And it would have laughed to start with, you know, and good fun. Well, it is still good fun, but I can't believe what we made out of it, you know. And so you never know what's there, do you? You've got to go for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's such a lesson in life for so many people, you know. Just keep going because you never know. You never know.
Yeah. It's got me through all sorts. You know, I have suffered with depression quite badly, but it's got me through, you know. And sometimes I do fight depression quite a bit and I'm on top of it. But you have your time, you just think, you know, and I think, oh, God, it's coming back. And off I go into workshop and it just lifts again.
Brilliant.
It's all about keeping your mind busy and doing something you love.
Yeah.
And I've never stopped loving doing it. You know, I love making the tools more than anything, you know, more than pattern writing, more than demonstrating, more than anything. It's making those tools that I love more than anything and putting me all into them. And it gets me really cross when some people bring them, you know, they have something and it's not finished in a way that a person can knit with it, you know, like your stitches snag and things like that.
Yeah.
We put so much into polishing them and making them as smooth as possible. Mm. And you think, well, then poor people are disappointed. You know, they get this product and they'll be disappointed. But no, I'd never want that. I'd say, if you're disappointed, you send it back and we'll make it right, you know.
Yeah.
And now we've just got into the next era where I want to go more into the gifting sort of era, like that, try and go into garden centres and things. We've had the most beautiful packaging made, which we've done through Sheffield Hallam in partnership with them. So I've had help with working with some professionals doing them, and that's been brilliant. I mean, these boxes are me, because the guy came to my house, he looked at all what I liked and loved and patterns I liked and things and colours I liked, and he went away and he came back with 6 mood boards. And the first one he got out, I just went, that's it. And he just said, let me show you them all. I got them all out. And I went, no, it's that. And he went, I'm so glad. He says, that's what I like best.
Excellent.
And it's just me. It's just they're just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful they are. So everybody gets them all packaged in this gorgeous box now. I just wish my dad could see, you know. But hopefully he can.
Hopefully, yeah, you never know. So you're craft tools are going to be appearing in the garden.
Well, I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful.
They're going to be appearing in Yarn Shop in Marsden called the Woolly Tap. They're going to be there. And I'm now really, I want to concentrate on more getting the craft tools into places rather than design now, because I know I want to work making them more than anything. So anyone that wants to stock them, any shops, you know, that want to stock them, feel free to get in touch. And we can, you know, we're doing smaller orders. You don't have to buy massive amounts, you know, to get them in there. So, yeah, I'm trying to get more into wholesale now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I want to put me all into everything. You can't, sometimes you can't do everything, can you?
No.
So I'm now choosing what I like to do in the best. And it's making the tools, making them look beautiful and user-friendly and everything. And then people in the shops can hopefully come up with ideas and workshops. I'm going to probably start and do a few workshops for stores that stock them. Well, I will be doing workshops for stores that stock them and set them on sort of the way to be able to create their own. But I'll always be there to give them that helping hand, you know, come back to if they need to. So that's what I'm trying to do now.
Wonderful. Well, so if somebody's listening and they've not seen your super jumbo tools, what kind of things, what kind of items can you make with these oversized tools?
We make, obviously, your blankets. You can make your blankets. I'm doing at the moment, working on a pool for footstool.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
One of them. Doing that with tunis in the moment because they don't seem to be done. A lot's been done with knitting, but not tunis yet. I've done a selection of bags. Like I've done like a shopping bag. I've done two new clutch bags that are coming out soon. Clothing as well. I've got quite a few. I've got a cover up bikini cover up, which I've done with the t-shirt yarns, a normal sort of sweater, which I've used in conjunction with a 12 millimeter. So I've used the 25 millimeter needles to do the main body, and then to take it in at the top. It's a bit more fitted. I've gone to a 12 millimeter. I felt I had to do that for fashion wear, really. You need it to sort of bring, you know, the shape in a bit more. We've done a long flowing sort of a waistcoat, cover up type thing. What else have we done? Placemats. We've got some placemats coming out. Table runners. Quite a lot of bags. I've done a backpack. Anything I just see, I sort of think, can it be jumbo sized? You know?
Yeah.
I have been doing for a long time a pair of curtains.
Oh my word.
Yeah, and they're out of t-shirt yarn, but more of a, I wouldn't say more of a blind type. Hmm. You know, the ones that catch the insects when.
Yes,
when you're
fly screen kind of thing, yes.
Conservatory type thing, I can't think of the word. Really, your eyes are opened by so many things, you know, and then doing different stitches, because a lot of people do the bigger things, but they tend to just stick to your garter stitch or your stocking stitch. So I'm trying to introduce a bit more texture in. So I've been doing dead normal stitch, which quite a knitter will know, like your Trinity stitch. So I'm talking American still. Blackberry stitch.
Mm.
It's called blackberry stitch, isn't it? Raspberry, blackberry stitch. Americans call it Trinity stitch. But when you do it super size, it looks amazing.
Mm.
It looks like you've got big, chunky, you know, pom-poms on.
Wonderful.
So I just say get out there and experiment. Just keep experimenting. I mean, we're all I'm still learning Tunisian to get the stitches, the tension right. But sometimes mistakes turn into other things, don't they?
Absolutely.
I say off a lot of time, going to make something and it turns into something else. I can remember making a skirt for my daughter once, but it turned into a handbag. Vice versa.
Wonderful. You know, it's amazing how many people I speak to who talk about the importance of making mistakes, because that's how you get taken down a different route and you discover something completely different.
Yeah, my sister's always saying, she'll say, don't ask her to design you something because you'll have to have what you're given. It'll turn into something else. I mean, the t-shirt yarn's opened my eyes such a lot because I've been working with, because I was a bit of a stickler, well, a bit of a yarn snob, to be honest. It was wool all the way, you know. But when I started with this t-shirt yarn, there's just been so many things. And don't you think the fashion's come back? I mean, I'm an 80s girl, and all the things we had in the 80s are sort of stringy looking, and the macrames and all this stuff.
Absolutely,
like that.
Yes.
I couldn't do macrame, but I'm creating it with knitting stitches.
Fabulous.
So, which you can do, you know, and a lace stitch with t-shirt yarn looks like macrame, really, in the end. So I'd say to anybody that's listening, just don't ever think you're useless at anything, you know, because every mistake, you can make something out of it. You know, keep going.
Absolutely.
And I think relax, and your brain, your head just goes into this lull, and things come out of it that you don't ever expect to come out of it. And I think that's what I've learned more than anything, to switch off and just let my mind drift, and things come out of it. Yeah.
Imagination's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I can remember being little and everybody said, she's in a world in fairyland there. I've always been in fairyland.
Well, it's done all right for you.
Well, I'm not academic, so I've got to be something.
Oh, yeah. Dear. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, dearie. It's been lovely to catch up with you again.
Oh, it's been lovely to speak to you.
And hear what exciting things you've got in the pipeline.
Yeah, let's hope so, yeah. I mean, I'll be 60 in another year. I can't believe it.
Gosh.
And you think, well, life doesn't end, does it, at 40? I don't want to stop at all, but what I feel I have got from age is, do what you enjoy doing. And if there ain't enough time, just pick out, if there ain't enough time to do everything, just pick out what you do enjoy more than anything. And that's where I've decided to go. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Keep creating.
Absolutely. Creating is key.
Definitely. Yeah. But it's been a joy to talk to you, and I hope I've inspired more people.
I'm sure you have. You've certainly inspired me.
Oh, thank you.
Now, making this podcast gives me the perfect excuse to talk to all manner of fascinating people about their crafts and hear about their backstories. One person who was high on my wish list of future guests when I first started was Christine Perry, or Winnick Mum. I'd heard about her mission to get many more people knitting socks, and whilst at the time I thought that was a skill that was way beyond my capabilities, I followed her work regardless. When we spoke last year to record the interview for episode 31, we discovered that we actually live quite close to each other, so arranged to meet at a rather lovely yarn shop nearby called Black Sheep Wools. Incidentally, you can catch Sara Mulvey from Black Sheep Wools in episode 35. We've got together a few times since then for a cuppa and to squish some yarn. And on our most recent visit last month, I took my microphone along to speak to Christine about the latest of her sock patterns to be published. Her Happy Feet sock patterns were published by West Yorkshire Spinners last month. We started off in the shop itself for the interview, but then we had to move to a slightly quieter location mid-chat, just in case you notice a change in the sound. Here's our chat about the Happy Feet patterns now. I'm having a nice trip out. I've had coffee and a toasted tea cake with my friend Christine Perry, Winnick Mum. Good morning.
Morning. It's been lovely to see you. That was a very good toasted tea cake.
It was excellent. Now, we meet up as a consequence of Making Stitches podcast, because we had a chat probably around this time last year, I think it was, wasn't it?
It could have been. It's always longer ago than you think, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we spoke about your journey into sock making and how you got to where you are. And since then, we've met up in person a few times here at a rather nice yarn shop. And you've just had a new development as far as your sock making is concerned.
Well, that's right. Thank you for asking. I've got a brand new pattern book out with West Yorkshire Spinners, or actually West Yorkshire Spinners have a brand new pattern book out, and I've designed the patterns for them because they've brought out 8 new colours of their signature 4-ply, and they're lovely. They're really beautiful dual colours, and they wanted patterns that were an explosion of colour that would show off their colours as well as they could do it in socks. So I was really pleased that they asked me if I would have a go and see what I could put together. And so we've got a pattern book that's come out with 4 patterns. And each of the patterns, when you look at the book, each of the patterns has been knitted in two different sets of colours. So it looks like there are eight socks, and you can see all the colourways. And oh, it's just fabulous. They are so good at putting the books together with the photographs, and they just look beautiful. And it makes me very, very proud to work with them. They're great. Great company.
Looking at the pictures on Instagram, they look incredibly intricate. Are they tricky to make? Would somebody who's not got that much sock making experience in their repertoire be able to manage them?
Yes, because I always design so that people can knit them. I'd say they're for an adventurous beginner. So ideally, I guess you'd have had a go at a basic sock, and I happen to know somebody who could help you with a basic sock. But if you wanted to just launch in a go, then I think somebody would be able to do it. So in the four patterns, there are two that are colour work that use two colours at the same time, and then there are two that are mosaic, and they only use one colour at the same time and slip stitches. And it just so happens that on my blog, for anybody who's getting stuck, there's an easy colour work pattern and an easy mosaic pattern, which shows you the basics of how to do it. And there's a basic sock pattern which shows you how it all goes together with the tutorials. So I think that with the resources that I've got on the blog, then anybody could look at these and think, oh, I'm going to make them. And they get through. That's how I try and design my patterns, because I just want somebody to look at something and think, oh, that would be perfect for my sock drawer, or somebody I know, or a friend or a relative. And then just think, right, I'm going to do it. And then hopefully I've provided enough information to help them do that so that they can get the socks on their feet.
Well, I have to say, since our first chat about socks, you got me to knit a pair of socks, and I never ever in a month of Sundays thought that I'd be capable of doing such a thing, knitting in the round and such like. So yes, I can vouch for your instructions being completely clear and very kind to somebody who hasn't got much of a clue.
Oh, that's kind of you to say. And your socks were lovely. You know, they were when you look at them, and all of the bits that people think that are too hard, the heels and the gussets and the toes, and you've made such a beautiful job of it. I think that anybody who wants to do it can do it, and all I try and do is just show them that it just takes a bit of confidence as much as anything else. And that's it with these patterns as well. Though, you know, they are colourful, they're bright, they're beautiful, the colours that go together, and I just love them. And if somebody wants to knit them and have them in their sock drawer or on their feet, I just want to help them do it, because I think anybody can do it with a bit of confidence.
That's wonderful. So the book's out now then?
Yes, it is. The book came out this week, came out on Monday the 20th of June. So it's available at West Yorkshire Spinners Stockist. So any yarn shop that stocks West Yorkshire Spinners, and then online retailers as well that stock it. And I think you can probably also buy it from West Yorkshire Spinners website as well.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much, Christine. I think we need to go and squish some wool.
That's an excellent idea.
Thanks, Christine, for that. I'm looking forward to our next catch-up in autumn. I've put links to Christine's website and the West Yorkshire Spinners website in the show notes, as well as all of Dewey's links as well, so you can find them there. Thank you so much for listening and for supporting the podcast for the last 5 series. It's been lots of fun to do. I'm taking a bit of a break over the summer, and I'll be back again in autumn with another series of inspiring maker stories for you. To make sure you don't miss out on the next series when it comes out, please subscribe to or follow Making Stitches podcast on your favourite podcast app, so the new episodes automatically land in your podcast feed. If you subscribe to the Making Stitches email newsletter, you can find out any news first. There's going to be a link to that in the show notes as well. Making Stitches podcast is supported by the Making Stitches shop, where you can buy podcast merchandise and my own amigurumi crochet patterns too. That's all from me for now. All that remains is for me to say a huge thank you to all of my wonderful guests who've spoken to me for this series. And thank you to you too for listening and supporting me along the way. I couldn't do any of it without you. I'll be back again in autumn with some more inspiring maker stories for you. But until then, do take care and enjoy your crafting.